Brothers and sisters and friends, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be at this meeting today, and I hope that I'm thankful that God has granted me the necessary strength, the necessary desire, and the necessary health to make this trip to be here. And I feel like we have certainly found the Spirit of God assembled with us during this time. And there is some reasons I feel like today for having such a meeting as this. One of them is that we are able, by the grace of God, to be able to sit under the sound of the gospel. The next one is that we are able to have fellowship one with the other, that we can, if you will, visit one with the other, that we can inquire of the health, we can inquire of the of the condition of our churches around in a various. I'll get my tongue untied in a minute. various areas, and I hate it when that happens to me. but there's some reasons for having such a meeting as this. Now, I ask that you pray for me as I try to speak to you for a little while. And the reason that I've told you all of that is that we had some visitation yesterday afternoon, Brother Allen and Brother Ed. We visited with each other. And ever since that visitation, I've had a text of scripture that's come into my mind that I cannot get rid of. And I'm telling you, I'm fixing to see whether it is of Joe Hayes or whether it's of God. Now, and we're going to find out in a few minutes, and I'll tell you in the first 4 or 5 minutes, if it's of Joe Hayes, I'm out of here. I want you to understand that. All right, I'm going to call your attention this morning to a text of Scripture found in the book of Proverbs. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 22. And we're going to read verse 28. And as I told you here, I think Friday night, I've had a whole lot of people ask me the question over the years, since you believe that you're the way you do, since you believe that God has already got his people chosen, that he's already got them redeemed, that he's already got them justified, that he's already got them sanctified, why in the world would you do such a thing as you've done and drive 840 miles one way just to stand before a congregation of people that you don't even know? Well, I'm fixing to tell you why. I believe today that there is some reasons for preaching the gospel. And one of the reasons for preaching the gospel is a warning to the Lord's people. And I think that I can prove that. Turn with me, if you'll, to the book of Acts, and we're going to go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And in writings of the Apostle Paul, and in the teaching of the Apostle Paul, he says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the flock of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I have ceased not to warn everyone night and day." I believe then there is a reason for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe today that in this text of Scripture, back over here in the book of Proverbs, I believe that there's a word in that I want to look at for just a few minutes. And that word is the word landmark. Now that word landmark appears in the Scripture 6 different times. But in all of the 66 books of the Bible, the skeptic is going to come back and say, out of all the 66 books of the Bible, if it only appears 6 times, it don't seem like it'd be very prevalent to use it. Well, I believe sometimes it's some of the smaller things that we need to look at. We need to look at the smaller things. I have found out in my study, by the way, of the scripture, and I never thought about it till just last week until it hit me like a bull elephant. There is no middle ground in the scripture. Do you know that? There's no, we hear a lot about middle class. It's not in the scripture. You're either poor or rich. And I'm telling you, there's not a richer group of people than sitting right here. And that riches isn't always measured monetarily either. That's not what it's talking about. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. All right. So that word landmark appears in the scripture 6 different times. I live on 7 acres of land in Catoosa County, Georgia, it's on the place where I was raised. It's the place where my mother was born. It's the place where my grandparents started their life together in 1895. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to be hard-pressed to ever get me off of it. Except to come to Oklahoma City to this meeting. I want you to understand that. And I told Sister McCarthy a while ago, I said, there's a woman over there in Georgia. I talked to her this morning, and she's wanting to see me bad. I think that she will be. Now, here's what I tell you that to tell you this. In that 7 acres, I decided one day I was going to have the place surveyed. I talked to this surveyor, and he said, there's no need in doing that. Just follow me. We went to each corner of that, and there was a stake at each corner of that place. He and I found it. That stake is there for an identity of that property. And I believe today that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has certain identities, certain landmarks, if you will, that we don't need to set aside. I believe that we need to hold to those landmarks. Now notice in this text of scripture that it says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. I can give you names, if you will, throughout history. And one of them has been mentioned here several times through this meeting, Elder John Leland, and it's all right. But I can give you names in the period of the 1850s, 1800s, some of the greatest scholars of the Bible were Primitive Baptist people. Such names as Elder Wilson Thompson, Elder Greg Thompson, Elder William M. Mitchell, Elder R.J. Respis. I can name you names on and on and on. But I want you to understand something. As much as I believe in the writings of those people, I want to tell you something else, that my great-grandfather was a Primitive Baptist preacher. I come from a long line of them. But I want you to understand today that if the landmarks of the Primitive Baptist Church do not go back further than my great-grandfather, they do not go far enough. If the landmarks of this church do not go back further than through 2 or 3 generations or 4, that's not far enough. I believe that the landmarks of the Primitive Baptist Church as we know it, I believe today they need to be founded on the Word of God. And I believe today that you and I need to be contending for that, and it's no wonder then whenever you look at such texts, as I believe it is in the book of Titus, where it says, contend for the faith that is once delivered to the saints. I'm telling you today that I believe that text takes me right back to the text that I've read to you in the book of Proverbs. If I get to the point where I don't contend for the faith, I believe that I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to lay a landmark aside. And I believe it's necessary for us today to look, if you will, at some of those landmarks that the scriptures teach. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing I believe today that the Scripture teaches me and we better hold to. I believe today that we believe in the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. It started among primitive Baptist people. I hate to say this, but truth's the truth. Being from the state of Georgia, I can say this because that's where it began. It began in the state of Georgia several years ago that Jesus Christ did not become the Son of God until his birth. It's awful quiet in here. That started in the state of Georgia. I'm telling you, my friends, that's not one of the landmarks of the Scripture. I believe today that Jesus Christ has forever been and forever will be the Son of God. Now, I'm fixing to tell you, they say today that honesty is the best policy. We've talked some over the weekend. It's no secret, I'm gray-headed, I might as well tell you the rest. I was born September the 16th, 1945. Now you figure out how old I am. I told some folks that I knocked my daddy out of going to the U-Harley Association on that Sunday morning, and I no doubt knocked him out of a bunch of stuff after that in raising me. But let me tell you something, in that relationship is different from the relationship of the Son of God. At that time, I became the son of Troy C. Hayes. But I'm telling you that Jesus Christ has forever been the Son of God. Let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 1, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." Now, I got some news for you folks. I believe, I went to Smithsonian Institute one time with a group of class of people when my son was in high school. We walked into the Smithsonian, and here's this sign. You are about to see some of your most ancient relatives. I couldn't stand it. But I got news for you folks. I hadn't got an ancestor that ever swung in a tree by his tail. I hadn't got that. But I believe that whenever this world was created, when God created the heaven and the earth as he did, I believe that Jesus Christ was right there in that creation. I believe that he was. And I believe that he was the Son of God at that time. Now, if we get to the point where we eliminate that and we do away with that, then here's one landmark that can't be identified among us. You hear me? So we need to be holding to the landmarks of the very Scripture itself. And whatever we do, it needs to be done according to the way of Scripture. And I'm telling you, I believe that it'll work whenever we do it. I spent 26 years working with a telephone company. I retired on Friday, and by Monday morning, I was already tired of the house already. And I think my wife was already tired of me being in her house. I turned around and went back to work, worked 12 more years with another telephone contract company. I had a man come to me one time, and he said, come into my office, and he said, "I've got our area manager." And he said, "I've got a problem." He said, "I've got an immediate supervisor under me that I have problems with, that I can't we don't seem to communicate. We don't seem to be on the same wavelength or something. He said, what do you suggest that I do? Here's how I believe the scripture is practical. I said, in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, I said, the only way I know to solve this is go to the scripture. I said, it says in the 18th chapter of Matthew, if your brother offend thee, you go to him between you and him alone. You know what I'd do? I'd go down there and take him to lunch. I'd talk to him. I'd tell him what my concern is. Brother, in about 3 days, he come bouncing back in that office and shut the door with the biggest smile on his face, and he said, your solution worked. I said, that's not my solution. That's a solution of the scripture. And I said, it even goes to, I went a little too far. I said, it even goes on to tell you what to do next. If you need, he said, I don't need that. We don't need to go any further. I tell you that to tell you this, that whatever the landmark in the scripture is, let's hold to it. Let's hold fast to it. All right. Now, another one that comes to mind right quickly. I believe today that predestination is taught in the scripture. And we better hold to that. But we have to rightly divide what it's saying. My wife has been, for the last several months, my wife's been kind of in ill health. For some of you that was saw her in Missouri, her old face was black as it could be, where she'd fell and had a knot on her head. That liked to kill her. But she's had back problems. She's been going to this chiropractor and taking decompression treatments 3 times a week. And what they're doing is they're stretching her. They're putting a strap up here and a strap down here somewhere and putting her on that table and stretch her. And she said, now I got to do that 3 times a week for the next 2 months. And I told that guy, I said, listen, by the time this is over, she's going to be 8 feet tall. Well, she's not. But he began to ask me questions about, he said, I understand. I want to know that, and he's a man that's searching for the truth. I want to tell you this. He began to ask me, he said, now I believe in predestination, but he said, I don't believe it the way you do. I said, let's hear the way I believe it. He said, you're not ever going to convince me that God predestinated everything to happen. I said, you're not going to convince me of that either. Because it didn't happen. And he said, in other words, God did not predestinate me to be a chiropractor. I said, how many times through your 4 years of college and going to chiropractic school, I said, how many times have you sat up burning the midnight oil studying? He said, more times than you can count. And I said, well, let's use a little logic. If God had predestinated you to be a chiropractor, you wouldn't even have to crack the book. You see how silly that is? But I'm telling you this, I do believe that God's got a people predestinated to be conformed of the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, I want to get right here and say something. There's a lot of things today that Primitive Baptists have been accused of that aren't so. You know that? And for that accusation, whenever I hear that, if you believe that, come and see. I believe this man's going to come and see. Because I believe he's honestly hunting for the truth. Now, in all of this, if you believe that, but I believe today that he's got a people predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now they were accused of sometimes of preaching only a handful. There's only going to be a handful in heaven. And he brought this up to me. I said, do you know? You're absolutely right. There's only going to be a handful in heaven. Boy, I got his attention right fast. I said, if you can tell me and show me how many that God today holds in his hand, that's how many is going to be there. And I'm telling you, here's another one of the landmarks that you and I better not ever give away. We believe in the eternal security of the Lord's people, that there's no power on this earth that has the power to ever take them out of God's hand. Now, when it said, remove not an ancient landmark which thy fathers have set, I'm hoping today that we as a people can be able to stand against some things that's cropping up among us. Let me tell you something. I believe that the gospel today has some purposes. But one of the purposes of the gospel is not to save people for heaven and immortal glory. That's already done. That's already fixed. That's already taken care of. In the gospel of Matthew chapter 1, when I believe God's got, I told you the other night, God's in control of this universe. Coming over here, I told some of you that truck I'm driving, my pickup truck tells me a lot of stuff. It's told me how many gallons of gas I've used and how much further I can go on what gas I got and all this. It's told me my average speed, and my average speed on I-40 is 68 miles an hour. That's the average speed out here. Some of you said, boy, you must have been flying part of the time. Maybe I wasn't. But I got scared. I've been heard preaching all the way out here, you know, because of a CD player in that truck. I heard a noise and looked in my rear view mirror, and here's the Arkansas State Trooper doing this. I quickly got to the other side. Got into where I just knew he was after me. But he wasn't. He went right on by, and I said, thank you, Lord. Because he could have got me real easy. I'll tell you that. What I told you that to tell you this. If there is a place today that I want to be, I want to be in the predestinated, but I want to be in the mercy of God. That's exactly today where I want to be. And I believe today, whenever we look at that, there is today, all over the scripture, things that we better contend for. I lived in deep South Georgia area, pastored churches in deep South Georgia area for a while. You know, in the boiled peanut country, where they eat those boiled peanuts that you folks over here don't like, if you don't give them to me. I met a man, and here's one landmark that we better hold on to. There were some folks in deep South Georgia that I had heard that don't believe in the resurrection of the body. If there is no resurrection, we got no business being here today. If there is no resurrection, Jesus Christ is not risen. if there's no resurrection, Jesus Christ does not today sit at the right hand of the Father, still making intercession for us. Went to a funeral of a longtime friend of our family. Talked to this man that conducted the funeral. And I said, I understand that there's some folks among you that don't believe in the resurrection of the body. Well, come to find out, I was looking at them, one of them, eyeball to eyeball, talking to him face to face. And this woman came by, and she said, if you haven't already experienced the resurrection, I feel sorry for you. Well, my body is, my hair's turning gray. I'm getting old. I'm getting disease sometimes in my body. It don't seem to be too glorified. It's not glorified yet, but in the mind and the purpose of God, it's as good as done. I want you to understand that. It's just as good as done. My wife, I left there as troubled about that as I could have ever been about anything. I worried about that. I'd lay asleep. I would lay awake at night. My wife one day finally told me she has got a knack of straightening you out gentle when you need to be straightened out. She told me, she said, There is some benefits to a non-resurrection. Boy, did she ever get my curiosity stirred. She said, you know, there's some benefits to a non-resurrection doctrine. I said, please tell me what the benefits are of going into a 4.5 foot by 3.5 foot by 6.5 foot hole and staying there. She said, it sure improved your preaching for a while. Let me tell you something. Here's one landmark that you and I better not ever put down. Because I believe that there's a greater day coming for the Lord's people. I believe that the Lord himself is going to descend. I believe he's going to gather every one of those that are his unto himself. I may have told you this before, but there's a man that I knew all of my life, lived 2 months from me, 2 miles from me. He and I went to Vietnam at the same time. I came home and he didn't. His mother was an only child. His mother died trying to find where her only son lay. But you know, I believe today in the resurrection of this body that whenever the Lord comes and he calls, come forth, he's not going to have a problem identifying Captain Thomas Duckett and say, come forth. And he's going to be raised incorruptible. He's going to be raised with undefiled. He's going to be raised in the glorious, likened to the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us today hold to the resurrection of this body, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, I don't know when. I've got a book there at my, got a little office there at the house, and I got a book written on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man said, I can tell you the day, I can tell you the time, I can tell you the hour, I can tell you the year. I read his book, and he still hadn't told me. You know why? He don't know. So that was a good waste of ink and paper. But I do know that he's coming again to receive every one of those that are his unto himself. That where he is, there they may be also. I believe today, brethren, that heaven is as real a place as Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. It's a real place for the redeemed of God. And just look what the Lord's people have got to look forward to in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Elder Wayne Peters is pastor of our church, same age man as I. We went to high school together. They buried his daddy in Anderson Cemetery there in Ringgold, Georgia. And, you know, they always bury somebody with their head to the west, supposed to, so they can see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's supposed to be the way they do it. I got to looking at Anderson Cemetery that day, and something was wrong. I couldn't put my hand on it. But it dawned on me in a few minutes, they're burying him the wrong way. I left there troubled about that. See, how sometimes we get troubled over stuff we don't need. I went to him the next Sunday morning. I said, Brother Wayne, you and I got to talk. I said, I'm as troubled about this as I can be. I said, they buried your daddy the wrong way. He said, do you think that's going to keep him from being in the elect of God? And I said, no. He said, do you think that's going to keep him from being redeemed? And I said, no. He said, do you think that's going to keep him from being justified in the sight of God? And I said, no. He said, do you think that's going to keep him from coming out whenever the Lord comes back? And I said, no. He said, do you think we need to be having this conversation? And I said, no. And turned around and left. I submit to you today, brethren, because of the resurrection of this body, nothing is going to hold them back. Whenever the Lord comes and says, come forth, come in, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So I would caution each of you today, what time that we have left on this earth, when we meet together in meetings such as this, the one thing that you and I better not ever do. We better not ever remove the landmarks of the Primitive Baptist Church and the landmarks of these scriptures. Because I believe that the scripture and the truth will stand when everything else fails. May the Lord bless you, brother.